Exodus 34, turn there please, Exodus chapter 34, just as a short word. We have also a healing prayer for the sick tonight also, and the way we do it at our church here in Baltimore is we ask the pastors to come up and you get a little bottle of oil. And then you filter through, you go to the back and to the sides, and then we have prayer. And then you can leave your seat if you want to be anointed with oil. And then Pastor Shabelli comes up and he prays and leads us in prayer. There's a little music going on in the background, and we pray in faith. And that's we're going to believe. Tonight, we are believing because we know who we are. Exodus 34 and verse 23. Read it out loud with me, please. Ready? 34, 23. Thrice in the year. How many times?
Thrice.
Don't say three times. Thrice. All right, how many times in a year?
Thrice.
Okay, three times. And when are they? In June, the end of the convention, end of the month, convention time, that's one. Number two, the pastor's retreat in New York. That's number two. And then number three is Eurocon. What'll happen when the Jewish people were told that they were to meet in Jerusalem three times? Look at verse 23. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Why? Because when you meet together, God ordained for the Jewish people to meet together. And I have to say that the last week on this day, we did a harbor walk in Baltimore City with signs saying Africa loves Baltimore and many other signs and flags. 1 week has passed. It seems to me it was just yesterday. Actually, it seems a long time ago. It's a paradox. It went very fast and very slow this week. And I'm ready for another week. Honestly, I am so happy to be with you. And there were times when I heard things I never heard before, and there was a spirit here that kept us in the holiness of God. And there were things I say, that man, that's wisdom. That man has faith. That sister is an amazing servant, very faithful. Many things I saw and I witnessed this week, as I know you did. And God is saying here to the Jewish people, I want you to meet together three times a year. And he said that I will enlarge your borders. And then look at the next part. Neither shall any man desire your land. Well, I don't know about you, but all the news today is about the fight over the land in Israel. Everybody wants that land of Israel. Everybody in the Middle East wants Israel. There's water in Israel. There's a Mediterranean Ocean there. Everybody wants Israel. Have you noticed that? And in the ancient times, the Egyptians wanted it, the Hittites wanted it, the Mesopotamians wanted it. It's a very desirable piece of real estate. But God said, if you meet together three times a year, nobody will want your land. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. Maybe, I don't know, this is Old Testament. We are living in New Testament times, and I'm making a suggestion That when we meet together, maybe there's something like Psalm 133. God has commanded a blessing. Maybe when we endeavor to keep our unity and we walk in humility and in the light of God's life and his love, that God blesses us, multiplying, enlarging the borders, and then nobody wants our land. When you shall go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Now, I'm not saying literally you need to come here three times a year or go to Europe that every year, but I would like you to think about it. Come and visit us. We're in Warsaw. Help me. March 6th to 10th. March 6th to 10th, Warsaw, Poland. You are welcome. Also, I would like to go back to Israel and do a trip to Israel. My recommendation is that every born-again Christian that possibly can, as God leads them, in the right timing, would take a trip to Israel. You'll never think of the Sea of Galilee the same after you've seen it. You'll never think of Jerusalem the same after you've walked there. You never know about the desert until you've been there, and the Red Sea, and all those amazing sights, if it's possible. I'm not saying it, in fact, I'm not saying it authoritatively, but I am saying it dogmatically. You figure that out. Okay, that's point number one. Number two, turn to Deuteronomy 27 as a 27 verse 5. Pastor Bailey Norman mentioned this yesterday. There shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. An altar, and we think of the cross as an altar that God has set up on the earth for us. And there is the cross there. The cross, the altar God gave to the human race. The altar that not made by man, but made by God. The altar, the tree that Christ died on. And everything about that altar came from God. The Son of God that died on it was God himself. And on that altar is where we find our peace, our security, our new life, our freedom, and we find love. And it says here, you'll put no iron tool on the altar. Now, in the Old Testament, this is like a stone where they slew the animal. Let's say they make the altar, they put some stones together, natural. Then they slay the animal. And the Lord said, don't put an iron tool on it. Don't touch it to improve it. Leave it raw. Leave it rugged. Leave it alone. It's a place of death. And I don't want any human hands to make it look pretty or appealing. I don't want you to put spray paint on it. I don't want you to cover it with gold. I don't want you to make it look pretty. I don't want you to hue it out so that it's solid 4x4. I want it just to be raw. I want it to be the cross. And the nature of man is to take the things of God and make them appealing to men. Make them appealing or attractive. I don't care that our music would be attractive as long as we have the cross there. I don't care that our messages would be polished clean as long as we have the cross there. Even our behavior amongst ourselves, I would like it to be more than just the iron shirts and the professional style of things or a clean parking lot or a beautiful building. No. Our Christianity is raw. It is tough. But it is real. It is true. It is offensive. It is foolish, and it is weak. When you look at the cross, it is called the foolishness of God, the weakness of God. It is raw, it is bloody, it is unpolished, and it is the way to God. Because by our nature, we have this desire for acceptance. We have a desire to say that the world would applaud us or find favor or as somehow we'd be crowned or coronated with some kind of honor that's here in the world. And Jesus said, you are evil people because you seek the honor that comes, you are looking for the honor that comes from men. So how can you get the honor that comes from God? In the end of John chapter 5. I don't mean that I will speak about it in a few minutes, you understand what I mean. Okay, so there it is. That's all for that part. Yeah, there it is. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's it. Praise God. Turn to Galatians 5, please. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 6. We're going to speak about love in a few minutes. Agape love. Galatians 6, 14. But God forbid that I should glory. I want to glory, to be honest. I want to be glory. If I stand in the grocery line at the store and I suddenly be conscious of the people in the line and myself, I wonder how I measure up compared to them. Am I wearing a shirt? Am I decent? Kind of shoes am I wearing? How do I line up with the other fellows that I am with in the world? I want to glory somehow in life. We glory in our PhDs or our degrees or our education. We glory in our neighborhood or our cars. Glory in our reputation, in our name or our ethnicity or race or background or what country we're from. We glory in how old we are or how young we are. We glory in athletics and music and accomplishments. We love to glory in those things. But Paul said, God forbid that I would glory in anything except, verse 14, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross where you can't put any tool to make it look pretty. The cross where you can't doctor it up and polish it up and wear earrings with the cross or, you know, the cross. At the university campus, the cross. In the world, the cross. Well, what does it mean, the cross? It's a place of a lonely, painful death. Once when I was a new believer and people were giving in the offering, I was sitting there thinking, nobody's really giving in the offering. I mean, everybody would just, you know, it's kind of one of these, you know, kind of, we're giving in the offering, put $2 in the offering, pat myself on the back, $5 in the offering. You know, I know they are doing that too. They in the church are also cheating a little bit. We all know that we all cheat a little bit. We give, you know, we're, you know, blow the trumpet, you know, put in the $5. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It doesn't matter what they are doing. Yeah, you are walking before me. It doesn't matter if they give nothing. You are walking before me. Isn't it true? The cross is a place you're alone. You're not with others there. It's you. You are dying. on the cross. And nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your offense. Nobody cares about how badly treated you have been treated. Nobody cares about your life or your future and all that stuff. The cross is what Paul found to be the key to his life. Verse 14, he gloried in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I cannot lead the church in the cross life, then I am cheating them. If I cannot teach the congregation about the cross and a personal cross, then how will they ever find the wealth and the riches and the blessing that comes through the cross? How will they find Holy Spirit power? How will they find a new life, a kind of love, a new kind of love? How will they ever find it without the cross? In verse 14, I glory in the cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There are three of them. Maybe you've seen this before. Goes like this. Here's the cross Jesus died on. Then there was three thieves. We died and got saved. And one thief died and he didn't get saved. What is the one that died that did not get saved? What is it that died when Christ was crucified that died but did not get saved? It is the world. The world was crucified when Christ died, but the world doesn't get saved. And what is the cross that where the man died but he got saved? That's you and me, the believer. For when he died, we died with him. Actually, right here. This is the key to the whole thing. This is where God deals with the world and God deals with us. And Paul said that if you live your life and never find the reality and the power of the cross, then you're just simply a good old boy that's simply very shallow and never understand agape love. Now here's the ending part of this, and we'll do it. I'm asking the AV department to put up on the screen the list of what love is and what love is not. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. This will be about, well, we'll see how long it goes. 1 Corinthians 13. Want you to see something we said today. If in chapter 13 I speak of tongues and men and have not charity, it is nothing. So I'm going to put a zero there. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I have nothing. So I'm going to put a few more zeros there. I have all faith, I can move mountains, I have mysteries, I've been in the Bible school, I know all the Bible inside and out. It's all zeros. Because I don't have love. And if I give my body to be burned, and what is the verse 3? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor by philanthropy, I'm giving away all my money. Bestowing it means cutting it in pieces. I give all my goods in pieces to the poor, and I do that, but I don't have love, then it is nothing. So let's put down a few more zeros. What do I have? Nothing. My life is nothing. I have found nothing. I don't have anything. God is saying dust. Not reality. Why? Because there's not love. Agape love. Watch. Agape love is God. God is love. not man. Man does those things. Man can be good, but his motivation is not love. It's not Holy Spirit love. His life is not love. We'll see it in a minute. It's an amazing thing to look at. So we got this up there. Finally, it came up. Okay. Somebody took a swig of coffee, and then they go, okay, let's get it up there. Okay. So we got zeros. And then Christ, I believe in Christ, the Spirit of God comes into my life, and Christ now, the Holy Spirit, is love. And if you have love, it's like you put a one here, and now what do you have? Your gifts are used by agape love. Giving food to feed the poor is an awesome thing when it is motivated by agape love. Agape love is the presence of God in our life. It's by God's grace. It's something entirely different. It is only the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying we are judges of people that are doing good things. I'm not saying that. But many of us don't have, many of us don't have the things that are listed there. But if I have the love, then I have these lists here. And this will, I want to just say a couple things about it. Love is, and there's eight. And love is not, and there's eight things. And many of you know the chapter, but I want you to, this year, study this chapter and think about it and learn it. Because love is something God does, but he also is asking us. It's a linkage between our humanity and God's mind. And basically at the cross, where I am surrendering in my heart to God, is where I find the Holy Spirit renewing my mind and giving me the mind of love. And now I want you to go to I want you to see something here. This whole list of what it is not fits in between is kind and rejoices in truth. So the list of what it is not is fitting in here, there, after the top two. And I think there's some meaning in that. That God is saying, I'm going to tell you what it is, but I don't want you to be confused because I want you also to know what it is not. Yeah, let's go through it. If you envy, that is not agape love. So what do? I go to the cross. And I say in my heart, God, I am envious. I am envious, God. When I see somebody that's prospering more than I see somebody better than I see somebody as much more than I am envious, Lord. And the Lord says, you come to the cross and I want you to learn love. Stop envying. I say, I can't. And the Lord is saying, stop saying the word I cannot. I don't want to hear about it. I died. I can. I died. I am crucified. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I want you to think with me. Okay, Lord, you deal with the envy. Take it away from me. Lead me in faith. I want to learn to live in agape love. It's amazing, isn't it? What does it not do? Vaunt itself. This is the meaning. There's two. Vaunting not is a pride on the outside, like showing myself proud or showing myself like looking, wanting attention, looking for a demonstration where I am at the center. And the second word is like it, but one is external, the other one is internal. Not puffed up is internal. that I think too highly of myself, I am puffed up. That is not agape love. The not behaving unseemly, meaning not rude, not caustic, not sarcastic, not cynical, not disparagingly talking about my wife in public or my children. It's rude. Sometimes you can be sensitive about how, and I have had to, I don't think I am sarcastic, and I have a lot of, I got to work on it, to be honest, because I do say things, to me they're funny, but they're not. Maybe sometimes they might be just offending people, you know, offending people. Agape love has a capacity where you are sensitive. Remember the other night we said we have new ears. Guys, we're not like other people. Like the man that says, I'm going up to New York. I'm going to buy and sell and get gain, and I'm going to prosper. I got a plan. I got it all figured out. And the Bible says evil. Why? What's wrong with being evil and being confident? Lord is saying, I don't have a problem with confidence, but I see in you and in your heart, you're not including me. You're not trusting me. You're not depending on me. My son didn't even speak until he heard from me in John 5:19. My son had every right to move things around and get things done, but he was very careful that he would always walk in pleasing me, where he was submitted to me. And agape love has that kind of sensitivity. In our culture, we were talking about it a little bit tonight. In our culture, we say hi and bye a lot. I mean, it's pretty tiring, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's like, hi, great time. Hey, hi, bye, see you later, guy, hi, bye. But I love it because that's our nature. At the same time, I love it when I can sit with somebody and listen to them and find Christ with them and hear them and see them. We are not a high and by culture like we are in America, but we are different from Americans. We are people looking for a connection. We are people with agape love in our hearts. And when we say to somebody, how are you? We are really interested in hearing and spending time and caring. You know what I mean. I think so. It says, does not behave unseemly or rude, seeks not her own, not easily provoked. Let's park there for a second. Not easily irritated, provoked, tempted, not cranky, not easily sensitive, prickly, kind of. Because had you ever pull onto the highway and you're just going along, and the driver in the car just starts yelling at you through the windshield or through the side window, or, you know, they just got irritated about something, and for you, you don't know what you did. Where is their anger? Their anger is in their bosom. Where is our anger? We said in the marriage getaway, our anger, we put it down lower, because we should be slow to anger. It takes time to bring it up. Actually, sometimes it takes time to find the anger. Oh, I should be angry? Okay, wait a minute. And you kind of like, yeah, you go looking for the anger. Some people, their anger is right in their mouths, right in their heart, right there ready to come out. They are nasty people, and they are troubled in areas of life. But agape love is not like that. It's slow to anger. It takes time. There has to be some good reason for it. It's not easily provoked. Somebody's angry at you for some reason, and you're able to manage it because of agape love. It's beautiful. We get angry with our children, maybe too quickly. Maybe we should understand them more. Maybe we should sit with them more. Maybe we should listen to them and follow their ways of thinking and lead them as good listeners. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Agape love. We're talking about something very useful in church life, because a church is filled with people, and people are filled with emotions and tensions and disappointments and heartache. And agape love is what is needed. And it's the evidence that Jesus came is by how we love one another. Not the good, perfect people, but everybody, without respect to persons. The Holy Spirit love. Thinks no evil, that's a message in itself. Rejoices not in iniquity. Scandal sheets at the grocery store. You go past in the line, you see the newspapers, and you just wonder, who reads? How do they stay in business? How do they sell? Cat has astronaut, bears a astronaut on the moon, I mean, absurd titles of crazy thing. Why would I read something written by some insane, scandalous garbage of some kind? People must buy it, and I would say they love it. They want to know who's pregnant in Hollywood. They want to know who left their husband. They want to know about adultery. They want to know about scandal, about stealing. They want to know about death and disease and plagues. They want to know about heartache and brokenness. I mean, like, why? Why? Because of our nature. But agape love walks past it in the grocery store. Doesn't even think, can't even understand. Why do I want to hear about somebody who was drunk the other night? I mean, if it is there, then I'm not really calculating on it. I know I'm not living in non-reality. I am in reality, but I'm in more of reality. Now look at it. Rejoices not in the bad news, the scandal sheet. I don't rejoice in it. Now go up to the third one. So the knots fit in between the second and the third one in your Bible. And then it goes, now this is the powerful thing here. These rejoices in truth. And this is awesome. This is the church, right? Built on the rock. The love of God in the church. What does a church do when it is healthy? It rejoices in truth, like we have done all week. It renews us, refreshes us, and nobody would have any of it without the cross, where I say in my heart, God, I am after you. Remember the story about C.S. Lewis and his wife? He got married late in life, and his wife, after some years, she got cancer, and she died. And C.S. Lewis loved her, and he wouldn't let her go. He held on to her in his heart. She died, and he's like angry. No, he's holding on to her, and he's angry with God. And God says, give her to me. Give her up. Surrender. No. No, it's kind of selfish. No, it's not right. I love my wife. I love my wife. No, it's not right. I cannot take it. I do not accept it. And then after some time, God just was silent. And he said, my wife, I couldn't even remember what she looked like anymore. That the poison in my soul was changing myself. I was withering up. I was dying. And then finally he gave in. He submitted. And that's the cross. the cross where I have to die. I got to say, God, I love, but it's not my right to keep her. Not my right to possess. She is not mine. My children are not mine. My house is not mine. My life is not mine. This is the key. And when he did it, the Holy Spirit filled him, and he said, his wife suddenly came alive in his mind and in his heart. And he realized, really, you know, in a fresh way, how good God is, what God gives, what agape love is. I'm saying these are my words. What agape love is, and how love, it's right, look at the list. Rejoices in truth deeply. Bible truth. Finished work truth. Holy Spirit truth. Rejoices in it. Loves it. Like all week and all through the year. And I'm so happy about the people that listen to the messages in the ministry through the years. The different teachers, Pastor Stevens, the present messages, the connections that we have. All because, and there's no sense in any of it unless it means we rejoice in truth. There it is. Love the truth. Love it. Tell it to me. Speak it to me. Lead me in it. Then, shortly, bears all things. Bears all things. The word means like a vessel in the ocean, and it's under pressure. I'm going to use a submarine going down in the sea, and it's bearing. It's able to handle the pressure. This is something that this world has a very hard time doing. When you put pressure on human beings, they cannot take it. They blow a gasket. They cannot take it. They've got to start fighting. They cannot take it. They get depressed. They cannot take it. They live in regret. They cannot take the pressure in this world. But agape love does. Look at Jesus. Beaten. It says, they plucked out his beard, and then it says his face was set like a flint. And I hear in those words, you may pull the hair out of my cheek in Isaiah 50. But my face is set. The pain, but I'm set. I am there. I'm not hiding. I've set my face, face to face. There I am. These are things that are so high and amazing, beyond all of us as human beings. But agape love is like this. It bears all things. The other meaning is a roof over that is protecting and bearing any weight that comes on it and bearing any weight that goes, you know, in the other direction. It just is solid, bearing. So then we have the next word, believes all things. I want to say a short thing about it. What things? The third one, rejoices in truth. Rejoicing in truth, this is the spirit truth. Rejoicing in it, and we are believing it. Believing it. So let's say there's a painful thing that happens in a family. Let's say a man cheats on his wife. It breaks the violates a marriage contract. It violates a marriage, and it's a joke in Hollywood until it happens to them. Like all things in life, it's a joke. Until you find the pain of it in your own life. It's fun to cheat and lie and steal until it happens to you. Then you're furious about it. Well, agape love has faced the reality of those pains. And agape love is saying, the man is forgiven. He has to recognize it, confess it, and then he's forgiven. And then that's it. What are we rejoicing in? the truth of forgiveness. We love forgiveness. The wife learns forgiveness, and now she's rejoicing in forgiveness. Not the truth of the adultery. That's not what I don't rejoice. There is nothing to rejoice, or even the pain of the adultery in the relationship. But what we are saying is we are rejoicing in truth, and we are believing all things about it. Like all things work together for good. We believe it. Our love is believing that there's a good story at the end. There's great reward. Love is believing this. Well, you're not being real, Pastor. I mean, this is real serious, the violation of the whole thing. And we say, yes, we are facing reality as reality, but we have another reality that is at work. We are rejoicing in that reality. The spiritual reality of Christ's victory, the victory over death, over sin, over pain, the victory over life. Let's say, for example, somebody's on their deathbed and the doctor comes and said, there's no hope. And you say, doctor, how much time? And they say, no more than 2 weeks. And so you rejoice in truth. Rejoice in truth. What is the truth? That he will be healed? Not necessarily. Yeah, I mean, he could be healed, but that's not a guarantee in every case. But are you rejoicing? Yeah, I rejoice in truth. Well, what truth? The truth is he's going to die in 2 weeks. That's the truth. Oh, really? Are you sure? Isn't life more than the material? Isn't the truth more than a sandwich? More than a deathbed? Isn't the truth bigger than a cancer? A disease or being left alone or a sin? Isn't truth bigger than a lie or Satan himself? What is it that we rejoice in and what is it that we are believing? We are believing all things that God has said to us regarding who we are, who he is, what he has done. We are rejoicing in another reality, not just once in a while. We got it in us. It says, thinks no evil down there, doesn't it? Thinks no evil, rejoices in truth, rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices in truth. Therefore, I am able to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things. That means put you in the worst disaster, and agape love will be there. Even suffering and bleeding, and even dying, and will say, forgive them. They know not what they do. He will be there dying, bleeding, and suffering, and agape love will not lose hope, but believe. Agape love, last one, endure all everything, and last one, never fails. How could the living God ever expect us to be like that? How could the living God expect us to be like God? How could it be? I would say, Lord, it's ridiculous for even you even to think that we could even come close. And God will say, you got that right. Except I became a man so that you could become like God. You got that right. You don't even come close to what I'm looking for and what I will produce in your heart. But you can. Regarding our past, I mean, we see God. We're looking for Christ. Regarding our present, we're looking for Christ. We see God. Regarding our future, bring it on. Whatever is happening, there's something working in us. Through Christ, his work, he established it. Now Paul said, I glory in the cross that has made it possible for me to be replaced, that I would die so that I could now live, and the life I would now live would be by the faith of the Son of God. And there's like a switch that goes on, and you start looking for it and thinking about it and living in it and enjoying it. And let's say, without even understanding anything about this message tonight, without ever any of us even not even understanding, but we got to say there is the Holy Spirit in the presence of His people that are saying there is something different here. There is something about our relationships. There is something that doesn't fail. There is something that is precious. There is something that makes me hungry. There is something more to life than a sandwich. There is something bigger than a paycheck and a job. There is something better than having good kids and a good house. There is something that I'm hungry for that I don't know what it is, but I'm looking for it. And we have tasted it and we have found it, and we want to walk in it all the days of our life. And if that does happen, then we could say, glory be to God. We have done something, we have found something that the world is hungry for, and please come to it. But look at this. This one. Will the world come? No. They won't come. The world will not get saved. It's perishing. It's crying, it's whimpering, it's suffering, it's bleeding, it's dying. The world is crucified unto Christ. It's no nothing, just anger. It collapses. Just the words there. There's envy, there's the pride, there's the rudeness, the crassness, the sarcasm, the criticism. There's seeking her own, they're easily provoked, easily irritated. Say something and immediately somebody flies off the handle. The world. Are you wanting the world or God? We've been to the world. No thanks. Been there, lived there, done it, know what it is. No, we have found Christ and His love. Amen. I don't remember. Is this an open meeting for salvation? Yeah. Would you pray with me for a moment? Maybe someone here is not a believer. I'd like you to hear the invitation from God to your heart, not from me, but from the Bible. To whomsoever receives Him, whoever receives Him, to them He gave legal power to become the children of God, born not of flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. You are born of God, nothing less than being born of God. And as you walk by faith in Him, you will experience Him and know Him personally. If you trust Him in your heart, in your life, your salvation tonight will result in fruit and a change in your heart, a change in your life. You will follow Him, believe Him, and trust in Him. God will show Himself to you. The important thing is to start tonight. Believe in Him in your heart. Please come to Jesus tonight. Raise your hand if you want to come to Jesus tonight. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to raise your hand to me and just give a signal to me. Yes, it's between you and God, not me and you, but between you and God. But say yes to Jesus. Please say yes to Jesus. Anyone? Yes to Jesus. In the gymnasium at the end of the property, anyone there? Please, tonight, say yes to Jesus. Please do that. And Christ is in your heart. Walk by faith in Him and you will know Him. And you will greatly, greatly be satisfied by Him. He will satisfy you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Hello, hello. Yeah. So, pastors would like to come forward. This will be maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes, maybe something like that, and feel relaxed about it. but this will be the healing. We want to pray for people that want to have a touch from God. Can be healing or renewal in your life, in your heart, financial, any number of things, or children or whatever. So all the many pastors, Greater Grace pastors, just come on up. Lord, we'll give you the oil down here, and then we'll lead the congregation in the prayer. So let's all stand and then sing. Okay. You know, when I look at us here, I think of if the altar is raw, you know, there's nothing there for me in the natural. Just the altar, you know. But if we go by faith to it, then the Holy Spirit, and this is what happens. Holy Spirit has put us here. Holy Spirit has made it real. The Holy Spirit has done it. Therefore, I should be careful with my decision-making with things, you know. I remember somebody saying, you know, like, I would never live in Baltimore. You may be seated. Pastor Chevelle is going to lead in prayer in a minute. I would never live in Baltimore, somebody could say. What's wrong with that? Like, I'm not that important. I'm on a mission. And where the Lord puts me, it's his business. I think if I had that attitude and I was in heaven, I'd say, I'm not going to planet Earth. Are you kidding me? They'll crucify me. You know, the cross is a way of life, right? Also, sometimes I hear a missionary might say, you know, I'm never going to go back to America. I'm not going to go back to America. I'm out on a mission field. It's like, wait a minute, hold it. Do you have a cross in your life? Like, how are you making that decision? It sounds like you're filled with an opinion or an idea or a way. That's you. But that's not agape love. Agape love is different. And we must learn this love. Because it's not natural love. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do this or do that or, you know, it's like, okay, yeah. But, wait a minute. Let's learn how to live in a way where we are finding God and his blessing in our life. And the altar is not attractive, and it's actually the best kept secret in the world in a way. Paul said, but I glory in it. The cross is my way of life, you know. So my relationships with people, I can bring a cross into them. My marriage, I bring a cross. My family life, where I live, my work, everything that I do. I get offended at work, so I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit because I got offended. It's ridiculous. It's like, wait a minute. Before you get in a huff and puff about it, and you're offended and hurt, it's like find the Lord and follow the Lord, because it could turn out to be that you're going to save your family in Egypt, remember? And I wonder how long it took for Joseph to forgive his brothers, because he was in prison for a long time. I believe he was 17 years old. And he got out. I think it was he was promoted when he was 30. He had a long time to think it over. Are you going to forgive your brothers or not? And he made the decision. So, okay. So let's have a closing prayer, Pastor.
Let's stand. Okay, let's lift our hands to God. This one verse in my mind right now, faith works by love. And then Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. Right now, say this, right now God loves me. Right now. I'm dealing with the now. Right now I am loved. and faith works by love. So God loves you tonight. And that's where faith comes in. They don't need to be long prayers. Many of David's were short, sharp, quick, powerful. We thank you tonight, God. You love us right now. And now faith is. Thank you, God. Pray that you touch people's physical bodies, relationships, God, backs, nerves, cancer, hearts, God, spines, entire physical realm, God, eyes, God, healing, because right now God loves me, and faith works by love. Faith is energized by love. This is my beloved Son, and we are in the Son. Heal relationships, God. Heal, God. Just deliver in people's self-images. They would see themselves in the love of God in Christ. Now. But transform us in a moment of time. In one moment, the issue of blood was dried up. In one moment, he was delivered from thousands of demons. In one moment, Jairus' daughter rose from the dead. In one moment, Lazarus was raised. In one moment, blind Bartimaeus could see. In one moment, God, leper was cleansed. In a moment of love becomes a moment of faith. So touch tonight. We thank you. Just praise him tonight and thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I believe, God, it will be even as it was told me. Faith, say that again. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. We thank you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but God loves. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. We really pray for those nursery workers, God. Cover them tonight. And just thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.